God willing, we're going to be in Philippians one more time this morning and then start a new direction after today. Please join me in Philippians 4. As you're working your way there, I want to make a statement because we're going to look at God's provision that he talks about at the end of this. As you are aware, we are no longer in a manna era where our daily food is mysteriously and miraculously appearing every morning. Or are we in that era?
Some of us are.
And I'd like you to remember as we approach this that even those people that had that manna, they had to go out every day and collect it. It didn't miraculously just appear in their bowl. God set in order as he created Adam and Eve to be workers. And it's still on. And while he is working, while we are working, he is working at work and providing. It's quite a design. And I'd like to get into it a little deeper this morning. Philippians chapter 4, the whole last section leads into this thank you note. Paul is in jail. Epaphroditus came to visit him, had a bag of something. They didn't have boxes back then, as far as I know. Maybe a mule load of goodies. We don't think it was perishable because he had quite a lengthy distance to get there. But who knows? You know, maybe somebody was a cobbler and he might need some sandals. Who knows what all was in there? But whatever it was, Paul received it as a surprise and as a blessing to him. So in verse 10 of chapter 4, he starts off, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you've revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before but lacked opportunity," which is the awkward way of saying, "You guys sent a gift. I know you wanted to before. Thank you. It finally, you're able to do it, and I'm a recipient. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever my circumstances. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. And you yourselves know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, or literally made full, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Our God, our loving Father, Jehovah Jireh, cares for each of his creatures. I'm going to go in a direction here that I hope takes you kind of, in a sense, philosophically deeper, but it brings it down to a very practical level as far as I'm concerned. He cares for each of his creatures and provides for their needs. The truth that is laid in there just grows and grows in our thinking. Our Creator made thousands of critters, species and subspecies, from the single cell organism to the largest of dinosaurs and whales. And each individual one has needs as well as something to supply in this process. God sustains each one through its whole lifespan while each does its design duty. Look at Acts chapter 17. Paul kind of speaks toward this. Acts 17, Paul's in a very religious place, Athens. Walking throughout their city, he saw lots of little gods that everybody worshiped, little idols. Finally found one that said, this is to the one that we're forgetting about because we don't know about him yet. We call him the unknown God. In verse 23, he talks about that. While I was passing through and examining objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription to an unknown God. What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. What an open door. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. So Paul believed God was the one that provided for every little creature. Psalm 104 says, the young lion roars after its prey to seek its meat from God. But when I first stumbled on that verse, I thought, whoa, I've never thought about that before. This mighty, mean king of beasts gonna kill whatever he wants. No, not unless God provides. And that's the approach I'm taking. But he goes on. He made from one, Adam and then Eve together, every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries for their habitation, that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. We are. We have our being. As even some of your own prophets have said, for we also are his offspring. Being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or an image formed by art and the thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Proof by God's design, you can see it. Proof by Jesus being raised from the dead, you need Jesus. He, the provider for all things, has clearly picked out mankind in which he is made in his image and has done something very unique and special for him. The provider. Right in the midst of the creation of this little single cell critter, clear up to the biggest of creatures, right in the midst of it, God made man in his own image. He is the one intelligent, conscious creature that God instructed to work, laboring for his food, but also to shepherd, to care for and tend other creatures. He's to be a manager. That's God's place for us from the beginning in Genesis 2 on. To be a manager. But also, God instructed him to give, not just receive. Yet this creature, man, has been so selfish and ungrateful over the millennia, thinking that he is the center of all life. He's the one who needs to be reminded of the one who really is the center of the universe and also the source of all life. Paul speaks to this in 2 Thessalonians. Let's go back to chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. Verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, calling God's power and name onto this situation, that you keep aloof or aside from every brother who leads an unruly, which is an undisciplined life, not according to the tradition which you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model. Michael just taught on this. An example, that you might follow our example. For even when we were with you, we urge, or we used to give you this order: if anyone will not work, neither let him eat. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, not working, but acting like busybodies, trying to control everybody else's life. Ooh. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in a quiet fashion, to eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. And if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, on this topic, take special note of that man and do not associate with him, so that he may be put to shame. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. The selfishness that can set in because of our sin nature, thinking that, oh, the church needs to support me. There is a place where a church needs to support someone, no question about it. Sometimes it's helping somebody over a hump. Sometimes they can't do it anymore. And the church is called to do that. 1 Timothy 5 gets into that with the widows specifically. But if it's somebody that's just being lazy, God told them from the beginning, and it's still on, work. Why? To eat. You like to eat? Work. But also so that you can have something to give to the one that's truly in need. That's the system God has. Yet at the same time, working in it all is Jehovah Jireh, the one that provides. For those of us over the years, eons, paying attention, we get to participate in this divine design of working and caring and giving and receiving. Receiving is part of it. Maybe God made the manna era to give us a permanent reminder of what is actually happening. He sees our need. He knows our need. He provides for our needs. And he so often uses fellow human beings with a generous heart to do that. It's a system that God has made. He's developed this program. It's a good one, and it's not going to be improved upon. However, the word needs is not synonymous with wants. In my twisted mind, I think, oh, I need that, whatever that might be. God, you've got to provide that for me. You said you're the provider. I need that. Got a little problem going on. You know the problem, I've led you into it. We happen to live in a glutted culture where conveniences are seen as needs and necessities. God knows our needs, and we need to adjust our focus. And my God shall supply all your needs. What all does that include? And obviously, what does it exclude? I've often been on the receiving end of this, but also been on the giving end of this. As I prepared this teaching, I was reminded of a very special woman in Cluj-Napoca, Romania, where my friend Dave and I got to be both on the receiving and the giving end of this. Actually, I thought of many scriptural examples of God giving, one's receiving, and in my own life, and you've got, many of you have your own stories. Look what God did. When I was in Romania in 1985, still communist, one of the trips that we took into Romania ended up in the northwestern corner, an area called, in a city called Cluj-Napoca. We had taken in several banana boxes. They had banana boxes back then too, full of food. Not from a shopping list, but from us shopping, thinking, what could a person use? We got in country at the Romanian border. Some of the overweight guards were taking out of the food box and just shoving it into their pockets. And we're at their mercy. No choice about it. They are the ones with the automatic rifles. They're the ones with the power of communism behind them. And I'll tell you what, it made us angry. They asked, why are you bringing in so much food? Well, we've heard, and it was true, that there are people in need. We were told that the voucher for meat for each person that they were issued for their meat for the month was 100 grams. We were told that in country. We were told each person gets 10 eggs. We were told and saw the bread lines for actual bread. You get a lot of bread. Okay. We heard that there's a need. Oh, no, there's no need, as he stuffs it in his pocket. I'm not sure if I've quite forgiven some of those guys or not. But, you know, as we went, worked our way up north, there was a widow in Cluj that had a dozen kids, eight of them still at home. Her husband who had died had been a pastor. Because he was a pastor in a place that doesn't want pastors, he wasn't appreciated. She didn't get much pension after his death. There was a need we were aware of specifically for this woman. In Romania, still, and when we went in 2013, you go into a home, they will feed you. They don't ask, are you hungry? Have you had breakfast, lunch, or dinner? You sit down and eat. It became difficult when we visited 10 homes a day. Truly. It was painful. I kid you not. We walked to this woman. We have to park a distance away and just kind of sneak to the house. Walked in, and she immediately sat us at her table. Brought in a little portion of meat for each of us and an egg and a tureen of soup. And we ate in this lady's home. It's a blessing for them to give, right? And then Dave said, go get the food. She didn't know this was coming. And I walked in with a banana box of food. And while I was getting the next one, she told my friend Dave in broken German, he was fluent and we couldn't understand Romanian. She said, the meal I fed you was what I was going to feed my kids tomorrow. Eight kids at home still. And I didn't know what I would feed them after that. We were the recipients of unbelievable hospitality. Oftentimes there's this knot that would form in my throat that made it really hard to swallow the food. When I came back in with the second box of food, Dave told me that story. And my God shall supply all your needs. But I went away richer. I learned what it was to give. To give. Truly. Not from your abundance, but from your poverty. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, please. Jesus taught us quite gently a precious lesson here in Matthew 6. I think he repeated it over and over for 3 years. At verse 8, Matthew 6, 8, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray then, knowing that, pray in this way. Our Father, and you get to call him Father now. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. It's about him. Drop down to verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Build bigger barns. It's mine. It's mine. Going to be happy till I die. To one individual, Jesus said, you fool, this very night, your soul will be required of you. Anyway, where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. And I happen to believe that he's dealing with the things that we're trying to store up. And it's weird that we, in our glutted culture, have many that have packed rooms that they guard with guns when there are needs. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye is clear, the whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. And in their culture, this meant selfishness. A bad eye was their terminology for a selfish individual. The whole body is full of darkness. If therefore the light in you is darkness, that light that you've got is only selfishness, how great is that darkness? And this fits with it. No one can serve two masters. For he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And what we're talking about now, just bringing this whole thing together, is God calling us to be stewards of what it is, what is his, allowing us to enjoy, no doubt, but also to have the benefit of giving, sharing, because of the needs out there. That's God's design. That's God's way. Verse 25, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food? The body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Remember what I said at the beginning? That he is the one that feeds each one of his little critters. Jesus believed that. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, they do not spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory, which if you've not read that recently or never read that, you need to go back and read about that. It is a jaw dropper. Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today, tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace. And the picture here is so beautiful. I love yesterday, little Samson at our big party was crouched down on the brickwork there. And Anna, my new daughter-in-law, came down to him and said, what'd you find? What's your find? And he's just looking at the little flowers. Well, all of us are adults are just being busy. I just imagine that meadow, walking out into that meadow, and wow, look at that flower. Look at that one. Look at how God has dressed this up. Here's this lily of the field that makes it beautiful, and then it dies. That's the picture that Jesus is drawing here. Yet even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the field, the grass of the field, which is alive today, tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? And I think that's all humanity. Do not be anxious then about what shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will have care enough for itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Hope you don't mind the little journey this morning. The thank you letter. I've received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, which is literally, I'm made full. God was taking care of me. I was content in that. Your gift to me is an added blessing. I am topped off. Some of you, God has given the gift of giving. I don't so much have that. There's people in my family that know how to give gifts, and they really think about the people. Their heart is into it, you know. And there's something there in that gift, whether it's a need or just a gift on top of everything, that becomes a blessing. God is saying through Paul, and now he's taking the teachable moment, you've blessed me. You've blessed me. Thank you. And in turn, my God shall supply all your needs. You don't have to worry. He's going to be taking care of you. That tells me that there may have been some value more than just a little gift off the top that they sent to Paul. Value. And it's not like a formula that if you give this much, God will give back that much plus a little bit more. That's a bizarre teaching that's out there in Christian circles today. That's not a formula. God's going to take care of your needs. And I've got some stories about that that I've heard as well with my own ears from ones portraying that God makes deals like this. And it's not it. And my God, the rest of verse 18. I've received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. And he relates it to the Old Testament offerings to God himself. Whatever was in that bag of goodies was as to God a fragrant aroma, soothing aroma, a sacrifice well-pleasing to God, not like Cain's that brought the wrong sacrifice, but like Abel who brought the right sacrifice. This is how God sees it, because it's giving as unto the Lord. That's his program. God is supplying the needs and is using human beings. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And then it's summed up in verse 20. Now to God, our God and Father, be the glory. Unto the end of the ages, forever and ever and ever and ever. And that's what the Greek word kind of gets to, and ever. And then he amens the whole thing. Yes, it's human people, yet ultimately it's God. The giving and the receiving. Let's open up for interaction. Anybody? Thoughts or questions?
Your need ahead of time. Oh, of course.
Like it. The last three verses, first of all, 21 and 22, reminds us that this is real people. Real situation going on, real heart stuff. It's personal. It involves others. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. He's in prison. He can't personally do that. Tell the folks in the church, I said, hi. The brethren who are with me greet you. And that exchange, I learned that our American culture doesn't take that as meaningfully as did in Eastern Europe especially. You send a greeting to somebody, you better deliver. And when that comes, it's as if the person were there in person. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. His ministry, he told in chapter 1, is even reaching into the whole king's palace in Rome. All of them are saying, yeah, greet Philippi. Yeah, they were really cool. Look, yeah. And then where it all sums up, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. God's enablement, God's provision, God's presence, God's will at work in you. And he wishes that on each of the individual people there at Philippi. It's not just, how should I close this letter? What's the common departing word in most letters today? It was meaningfully, may God absolutely be present with you. End of Philippians. Father, thank you so much for all that is packed into every book of this 66 collection called our Bible. But all that was loaded into Philippians, Lord, there is so much we could start over again. Father, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've been focusing a lot on contentment, choosing to be content. And what a blessing it is when something extra comes within that contentment. And that's what we're reading right here. Father, help us to look at life differently. Especially, you've planted us in this American culture that is so very rich. And I learned that when I was with the very poor in Romania. Help us to appreciate what you have provided and to look at that which we consider our own self-gain treasure, no longer in a skewed way, but through your lenses. And Father, I do pray that you would raise up just a small army here of giving people time and energy as well as commodity, whatever that might mean, when there is a true need. But we also need wisdom and discernment, because there are the lazy and selfish that you don't want us to support. It gets tangled, but we need you, so guide us, Lord. It's yours. We are yours. Thank you that we can trust you and so not be anxious about tomorrow. Now help us to apply that in Jesus' name.